The following audio is presented by Grace Church. For more about us, visit discovergrace.com or you can download our free app by searching Grace Church Orlando on your phone or tablet. Now, we hope you enjoy the message.
Boom. So fall kickoff, as you guys know, fall kickoff, or maybe you don't know, fall kickoff was supposed to happen this Sunday. And if you're here because you came for fall kickoff, wasn't that a great prank? We got you. It's actually going to be next weekend, next Sunday. So we had everything pushed back because hurricanes are awesome. And so I hope you enjoyed your Labor Day, your Labor Week, as it turned into. So we are going to push that. It's going to be amazing. Please be inviting people this week. You don't want to miss it. We're still going to have all the fun stuff that we had planned. It's just going to be next week. So let's continue on. So we are going to start a new sermon series next week. We're going to finish this like little three-week journey we've been on. And what we've done is these are kind of our little giants is what we call them. We went back and we said, what are the three shortest letters of Paul in the New Testament? And we're going to look at those. So we've already looked at the first two. So we're going to look at the last shortest letter of Paul. And here it is. It's 2 Timothy. And so here's our passage today, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 1 through 9. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. If you don't have a Bible, there should be some on your rows, like on the ends of the row, and you can follow along there. There's a table of contents in the front. Ain't no shame in your game if you got to use it. That's what it's there for. If you don't follow along on your smartphone, you can do that as well. 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to start reading there in verse 1, and we're going to jump in there. So here we go. You then, my child, being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach the others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Real quick, what's going on? So this is written by Paul to Timothy. Paul is in prison awaiting his execution. It's really where he is. He's not in the best of places, and he's encouraging Timothy. And one of the things he says, if you go back and read 2 Timothy, and I encourage you to do it, it's probably like four pages in your Bible. If you go back and read it, one of the things that Paul's making very clear to Timothy is, as I am suffering, you will suffer as well. If you keep trying to follow Jesus, if you keep doing this mission that he's put you on, you will suffer like I've suffered. And I cannot imagine how jarring that must have been for Timothy to read. You have somebody writing you from death row going, if you keep doing this work, you could end up where I am. You will suffer in some way. And so what he's talking to him about is endurance. He's like, continue on. Don't stop. You need endurance. What he's not talking to him about is coping. And I think sometimes when we think about, like, we have difficulties, we come to church and church is going to teach me, or Jesus is going to teach me how to cope, right? But the reality is you don't need church and you don't need Jesus to cope. Like, straight up, there are ways that people cope without faith. There are ways that people cope without Jesus. In fact, I looked it up online and I found this article in Psychology Today that was talking about coping with difficult times or coping with anxiety. And there's a whole list of things that they recommend that you do. Like, for example, I'll share with you this list. I think some of them are kind of silly, but one of them is like do yoga, which I don't know how that's supposed to relieve any anxiety. Anybody here done yoga? It's like competitive stretching. Like, it is not easy. Like, you think, like, you see, like, the commercials, and you see them, like, at peace or whatever. Like, I fell over, I don't know how many times. I cannot touch my toes. Like, it just will not happen. And so, like, I don't know why that would be relaxing to some people. It says, give yourself a pep talk. Like, if you're freaking out, give yourself a pep talk. Let me just go ahead and say, if other people around you are freaking out, don't do that. You're just going to freak them out even more, right? Like, you start talking to yourself. Hey, look, I know you're freaking out. I know you want to kill everybody in this room right now, but don't do it, all right? Like, we got a job to do. Like, don't do that. But another one is drink tea. I don't think so. Not since 1776, USA. Squeeze a stress ball. Does that work? Does anybody do that? Does anybody, like, seriously squeeze this? Do you remember when that was really popular? Everywhere you would go, like, you'd go to, like, a convention or whatever, and everybody had a stress ball with their company logo on it. Like, what happened to those? Didn't everybody's dog ate those, right, and got really sick? Is that just me? All right, but anyway, like, put on lotion that smells good. I don't know. Like, if I'm struggling with anxiety, I just don't think, like, chamomile. I just don't think that that's going to do it for me. But coping is about getting through. And the thing I want to tell you is God doesn't want to just get you through the difficult times. He wants to get you somewhere. And here's what I mean by that, is that every single one of us as followers of Jesus, we are on a mission. And what is that mission? We want to take our next step towards Christ, and we want to help others take their next step towards Christ. In other words, we're fulfilling the two greatest commandments according to Jesus, which is what? Love God and love people. That is what we are here for. And the thing is about our suffering, sometimes difficulty gets in the way, and when suffering hits our lives, when difficulty hits our lives, it sidetracks everything. It puts everything on hold. Think about the last time some great difficulty entered your life. Everything was thrown out of whack, right? Your plans for the future, your ambitions, all these things were thrown out of whack. But suffering, like man's suffering in God's economy, doesn't have to throw us off track. It doesn't have to stop us. Instead, it can actually propel us forward in our mission. And that's what I mean when I'm saying God doesn't want to just get you through your difficulty. He wants to get you somewhere. He wants to continue on your mission. A great example of this is the Apostle Paul. He's dealing with something difficult, and he asks God to remove this difficulty. Like, hey, this difficulty has shown up, and it's hindering me. But then he realizes, God gives him this insight that it's actually not hindering you. It's actually helping you. Like, I'm using it to further you along in this mission, propel you forward. And here it is in 2 Corinthians. I want you to see it. He says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul didn't need deliverance. He needed endurance. That's what Paul is saying here. I don't need to be delivered from this difficulty. God, I just need to endure this difficulty. And the reality is, I think there are people in this room right now. You don't need deliverance. Maybe what you don't need right now is immediate deliverance. Maybe what you need is immediate endurance. Because where could God be taking you in this difficulty? Again, he's not just trying to get you through. God is not some fancy coping mechanism. Instead, he's trying to take you somewhere. He wants you to take your next step towards him. He wants you to help others take their next step. So what could God be taking you? Where could he be taking you in this difficulty? Is he taking you closer to himself? Is he taking you closer to others? Is he giving you opportunities that you didn't have before? Is he giving you experience you didn't have before? And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. He's like, you're going to be experiencing difficulty as you try to stay on this mission God has given you, as you try to live this life God has called you to, and it's going to be difficult. But listen to me, Timothy. God isn't just about getting you through. He's about getting you somewhere where you don't need deliverance. You need endurance. And so we need to embrace that endurance. And so what Paul does is he gives these three examples to Timothy. What does he say? He says soldier, athlete, and farmer. Those are his three, right? So a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer walk into a bar. So he gives these three things to him, right? And in it, he says, look, these three guys, they all have a mission they're on. Just like you, just like me. They all have a mission. They have something to complete. They have a task set before them. But then in it, in this example, he gives three temptations that keep us from enduring. Three temptations that would keep the athlete from enduring, that would keep the farmer from enduring, that would keep the soldier from enduring. And I think all of these temptations are things that you and I face. If we're going to try to follow Jesus, what does he say? He says, take up your cross and follow me. It's not an easy path that we're on. In fact, Jesus says, like the road to life, like the path to life is narrow and few people find it. It's a tough path, right? That's what he's talking about. And so if we're going to do that, there's going to be temptations for us to not endure. There's going to be temptations for us to not stay on this path. And so what are the temptations? We're going to look at all of these as he laid out. So the first one, look at the soldier. Look there in verse 3. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Let me explain what's going on by starting off by saying we live in a side hustle world, right? Like, our culture is all about the side hustle, isn't it, right? Who in here has got a side hustle? And don't keep your hands down. I can smell the essential oils already, right? Like, I know you got them out there. You know what I mean? Like, we have side hustles. There was this study that I read recently that said that 50% of millennials have a side hustle. 50%. And I also read that 29% of baby boomers have a side hustle. The other 71% don't know how to use the internet. But the 29%, they've got a side hustle, right? And so, like, that's what we do. And in fact, I went on Reddit. I found this subreddit that was talking about there were active military soldiers that were saying, hey, I need to make a little bit of money on the side. What are some side hustles I could do while I'm living on base, right? Because apparently the military doesn't pay really good. So who knew that? But anyway. anyway, like the so they're asking, what are the side hustles I could do? One guy, he was an aircraft mechanic, and when they had parts that were they couldn't use again, like parts of the plane that just you're not going to put back up there in the sky, he would take them and he would make them into furniture, right? And then he would sell the furniture. Like, that's a pretty cool side hustle. Well, if you were a Roman soldier, if we're going back to the first century, it was forbidden for you to have a side hustle. Like, you could not participate in the marketplace whatsoever. You are a soldier, a soldier, a soldier, a soldier. There is nothing else that you could do. In fact, if you were caught doing anything like that, if you were caught trying to pull a side hustle, you could be court-martialed. And you go, that doesn't sound so bad. Well, let me explain. For a Roman soldier, if you were court-martialed, it ended in death. Like, if you were successfully court-martialed, the group of men that you served with would either hit you to death with stones or sticks. So that's cool. So that was a real problem. Why would they do that? Like, why would that be a restriction? Like, why would they say, like, you can't do anything else. You are a soldier. Why? Because the temptation for the soldier would be to lose focus, right? If they've got all this other stuff they're worried about, because think about it, they're living at home, they're living in their community, and so it's really important for them to keep that identity as soldier. Why? So they would stay focused, that their mission would be number one, right? And our temptation is the same. Our temptation is to lose focus as well, right? And to not endure, to not to see where God is at work. Why? Because our lives, like, they move really fast, and we get so busy and we lose focus. Like, for example, think about your workplace. If you're a believer in here, you know the main reason you're at your job is because God placed you there for his purposes. It's not just to collect a paycheck. Like our God, he can provide, and he has infinite creative power. He can provide an infinite amount of ways for us. You don't need that job, straight up. But he's choosing to provide for you in that way. Why? Not so you can just get a paycheck, but he has a purpose for you there. He has placed you in that workplace for a purpose. And everyone in here, we can say, yeah, I know, I got it, right? But then what happens? We get to work, and then you deal with a difficult coworker. Like, you got Jerry, and he's a jerk. It's always a Jerry, right? But anyway, like, he's like a jerk. You got to deal with him, and then, like, you're worried about, am I going to get the promotion? Or you're worried about, I've got this project coming up, and I don't know if I have enough time to fix it. And then all of a sudden, your mission, your primary focus of, God, you placed me here to be a light in this workplace, that's secondary. Or maybe it's even tertiary at this point, because you have all these other things going on. Why? Because life just moves fast, and there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things to catch our attention, right? Or maybe I think about it in my own family. Like, my kids are growing up so stinking fast. The other day, my daughter's 7 years old. The other day we were at a Crooked Can, and we were hanging out, and they call it the grass place because there's that, like, astroturf over there, and it's fenced in. It's awesome. If you're a parent, you just go kids, and you go get beer. It's awesome. So we sent them over there, and my daughter is just not having a great day, and she's, like, melting down. And she's sitting there, and she's turned towards the wall, and she's like this, and she's crying. And we're like, what's wrong? And she goes, no one understands me. And then she goes back to crying. And I was like, you're 7. You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean I don't understand you? Like, what is happening here? And, like, she is just 100% girl. And, like, I'm like, I don't, what happened to her? Like, Angela, do we break her? Like, what is happening? Like, how old is she? What does she mean no one understands her, right? And so, like, apparently she's already been watching Nicholas Sparks movies. It's crazy. So anyway, I'm like, the thing is, like, my kids, they're growing up. Like, there's nothing that stops that. And sometimes, I got to be honest, I can confess to you, I wonder if I'm raising my kids on purpose or not sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, they're growing up, and they're hitting milestones, and there's things changing in their life, and I feel like there's just so much that goes into just, you know, keeping them alive, that, like, and there's just so much of life that's happening that I know my primary function as a father is to give them a picture of our Heavenly Father, and it's to guide them to know him. Like, I know that's my primary function, but sometimes I just worry I'm not doing it because I'm not doing anything on purpose with them. Why? Because life just moves so fast, and things just move so fast. There's so many things going on, and so many times, like, my temptation is I just lose focus of what I'm really supposed to be doing here. But then he talks about the athlete. There's a temptation there. Look at verse 5. An athlete's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. What's the athlete's temptation? The athlete's temptation is to cheat, right? Like, cut the corners, right? I think about Max, my oldest, who's here. What's up, man? You didn't know I was talking about you, but it's happening. Max, when he first started playing soccer, praise God he doesn't anymore, but when he first started playing soccer, there's one time the ball, like, stopped right in front of his little 4-year-old foot. And, like, if you're a parent, That's the moment you woke up for, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's the moment. Because it's not going to happen again. You know what I mean? There's always that one athletic kid who's just, like, flipping it over his head, and he's just, like, scoring on everything. But, like that's just – my kids, they've got – all of me in them, right? And so anyway, so sports are something you'll watch. So like they're out there, the ball is right in front of his foot. And so I'm like, this is amazing. He's going to dribble it all the way down the field and kick this goal. It's going to be amazing because he's all the way back by his goal. But I'm like, this is it. He's going to take off. We've been practicing. He knows what to do. And so the ball's right there in front of him. And so again, the goal's down there. He turns towards his own goal and kicks, right? And I was like, Max, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, you don't kick it that way. And he goes, this goal's closer. And I was like, smart, right? Like, you know what, son? This is a dumb sport. Let's go. So anyway, but that's the athlete's temptation. It's to cut corners, right? I mean, it's one of the reasons why, like in baseball, the big like HGH scandal and the steroid scandal and all those other things, right? Like it's trying to cut the corners, right? What's that about? It's taking the easier path, and that's our temptation, is to take the easier path, right? When we're facing something difficult or we're facing a difficult choice of obedience, there will always be the temptation of an easier path right alongside that. Isn't that true? There's always that temptation of an easier path. Makes you think about like this week. So recently I brought one of our cars in to have tires put on. Because you know, like when you think a hurricane is coming, you start doing things you should have done months ago. You know what I mean? Because you're like, what if it hits and we have to drive to Atlanta or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, how are we going to make it? And so immediately, like I try to find places. Everybody's closed because it's Labor Day. And so I find one place that's open. I get online, I get their prices, I call them, I confirm the prices and everything, and then I drive out there. It is nowhere near my house, all right? Like, it's nowhere near, and I'm like, God, if I don't have a blowout. So I get all the way there, I start talking to the guy behind the counter. He goes, yeah, we can do that, and the price is different than the price that I got on the phone. And I was like, oh, hang on 1 second, that's not right. Like, that's not the price. And so I pulled up my phone, and I said, here's the deal that's on your website. And immediately when I said that, he slams his hands on the counter and he starts going off on me for how website pricing works. He's like, you can't buy something on Target.com and expect it to be the same price in the store at Target. And I'm like, actually, you can. Like, there's price matching. But anyway, like he starts just going off and he's like, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. And I'm like trying to talk to him and he keeps interrupting me and he just flips out, right? And in that moment, like, I have a mission path. And what is that mission? Turn the other cheek. Like, display to this guy, I don't know how many people have come in there and mistreated him. Like, to display to this guy, I have an opportunity to display to him and all the people around who are definitely listening now and are learning all about online pricing as well. Like, I have an opportunity to turn the other cheek. I have an opportunity to show patience. I have an opportunity to show, like, the kindness and the grace that, like, God has offered to me. But then there's an easier path. And what's that easier path? Defend myself. Tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about. Demand that I get the price that I want, right? And unfortunately, that's the path I chose. Immediately, I just started defending myself. And I was like, that's not how online pricing works, right? And I was like, you can buy something at Walmart.com and get it for that price at Target. It's called price matching, man. That's how this works. And he goes, but that's online. That's not in the store. And I was like, your address is right here online. It is in this store, right? And the manager comes over and whatever. And so I leave. And the reality is I took the easier path. And you know what's stupid about it? It was $50. Like, the witness that God had given me, the opportunity God had given me to show him to this person wasn't worth $50 to me. But that's the temptation. Anytime we have an opportunity to face, like, to in difficulty face obedience, the difficult choice, there's always going to be the choice to take the easier path, always. And that's our temptation. Let's look at the farmer. There's a temptation there. Verse 6. It's a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Now, I don't know if you can tell by looking at me. I've never worked outside. It's just not in me. It's not how I'm built, right? So I did grow up in Tennessee. I know farmers existed in the world, but I don't really know any. And so what I did this week was I reached out, and I literally put on Instagram and said, hey, if you know a farmer, or if you are a farmer on Instagram, I didn't even know you were on Instagram, farmers. If you know a farmer, hit me up. I got some questions I want to figure out. And so some of you in this room helped me get in contact with farmers. It was awesome. It made me feel real manly. I got dirt under my fingernails. Not through the phone calls. I just went outside and rubbed them in the ground. But anyway, like, I learned a lot of things. Like, let me give you some less than helpful things that I learned, but I thought were interesting. One farmer told me that if you have a goat that keeps headbutting because they're super aggressive, like every time you go in to feed it, tries to headbutt you, you put pool noodles on its horns. That's hilarious to me. Like, I just hope, I don't know if goats bully other goats, but man, I hope they do. Like, that's hilarious that they have those on there. I also learned, another farmer told me that his parents, he grew up on the farm, and his parents, when they would dig post holes, you know what I mean, for like putting posts in the ground, fences and whatever, his parents knew that he, with his brother stacked on top of him, was the depth that they needed. So they would dig a hole, then they would lower him into the ground, and then they would lower his brother on top of him to see if it was deep enough. And I tell you what, like, it's got to be hard to be a farmer and live in 2019 and look at, like, the way we complain. You know what I mean? Like, the way we complain and like, you know, like, my parents yelled at me. They're like, my parents used to put me in a hole, all right? Like, they would put me in a hole, and they'd stack my brother. I was a Lego, right? Like, in that hole, right? So that was less helpful. But the helpful things I learned from farmers was this, was that even today, even with all the technology that we have, when a farmer plants their seed, there's still a huge level of uncertainty. They have no idea if the harvest will be good or not. Like, they truly don't know. Like, there's a lot of work there, right? That there's a lot of guesswork around that. Plus, I asked one of the farmers, I said, what's there to do between planting the seed and harvest? You know what I mean? I imagine you whittle. Is there a lot of whittling going on, right? Like, what do you do? And they're like, there's a lot to do, actually. You know what I mean? Like, they said, one of the farmers said, if you plant the seed and you wait till harvest, you'll harvest a lot of weeds. Like you said, there's all kinds of work to be done in the meantime, right? And he said this to me. He said, this is one of the ones I got back. He said, it's important to remember that you can't just plant and forget. It takes endless effort and attention, and even then, it may not work out like you thought. So what's the temptation of the farmer? Temptation of the farmer is laziness. Why? Instant gratification. Right? Instant gratification. Because, like, you can work hard and really hard for the harvest to come, and it might not come like you want it. Or you could take a nap today, and you have a nap today. You know what I mean? Like, that's a temptation, right? And that's our temptation as well, is instant gratification. We live in an Amazon Prime Now culture, right? Like, I want you to think about this. The hurricane threatens to hit us this past week, and praise God, we did not lose power. Praise God, we didn't lose air conditioning. We didn't lose running water. We didn't lose anything, really, but we did lose one thing. Amazon Prime. Did you guys see that? Like, I was like, the it has passed. It's time to order packages again. And my Amazon Prime, like, I'm trying to order on a Tuesday. My Amazon Prime's like, we'll see you next Monday, right? And I was like, what? This is a tragedy, right? I called FEMA. But, like, immediately, like, I was upset. I was like, what is happening? Because we live in that culture, right? Like, there's an app called Amazon Prime Now. Like, I can't wait 2 days anymore. I got to have it in an hour. Well, get your shoes on, you lazy butt, and, like, get in your car and go to Target. Gross. No, right? You know what I mean? Like, bring it to me. We live in that type of culture. And so why endure in obedience for reward and blessing later when I could disobey now and have the pleasure of that disobedience right now? And so that's our temptation. Our temptation is, I want it now, like instant gratification. And so if we don't endure, then we miss out on a lot. According to the scriptures, he says the soldier would get victory, the athlete would get a crown, the farmer would get the first crop, right? And so they see all of this reward. And the same thing for you and for me. God wants to bless us, and he has blessings waiting for us if we will endure, if we will continue on this mission that he's placed us on in your homes and in your families and at your workplace, if we'll continue to try to pursue him, take our next step towards him and help others take their next step, then there's reward waiting for us. So how do we answer these temptations? Well, let's go back and look. So let's start with the soldier's temptation. It's to lose focus. Then we need discipline. And what I mean by that, like, you know that. Like, you know that. If you know anything about the military, discipline's an issue. That's their thing, right? Like, that's their, like, military discipline. You guys have seen In the Army Now with Pauly Shore, all about discipline, right? You know what I mean? If you haven't, you got this afternoon. But anyway, like, and what do I mean by that is, I mean, our lives are constantly shifting. They are constantly shifting. There's constant changes. I want you to think about just this past month, not a year, just this past month. What unexpected things happened just this past month for you? Like what things, if you go back and look at your calendar and then think about how you actually lived this past month, what were things that happened that were completely unexpected to you? I bet that list would be unbelievably long of all of the unexpected things that happen. And that's life. Like life moves fast and things happen and you're not expecting it and this happens, right? Do you guys know like we're 108 days away from Christmas? Do you guys realize that? We're super close. Yeah. Aren't you panicking? Like, have you bought me anything yet? You know what I mean? Like, you got to get out there, right? But yeah, like everything, it just moves fast and things change and we don't know. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm talking about. Like, our life is just constant shifting. And what discipline is for us is it is an anchor for us in our ever-shifting lives. It's the anchors that we drop to say, no matter what else is happening, this will happen, right? And so spiritually speaking, that's what spiritual disciplines are. They are anchors that we drop in our life and we say, you know what? When life is shifting and I'm tempted to lose focus, I won't lose this. And for example, like all of you are doing that right now. Like being here on a Sunday is part of your discipline. It's an anchor you dropped, right? Like you didn't know what was going to happen with the hurricane this past week. You don't know what's going to happen to you this week at work. Maybe something's going to just come out of nowhere. Maybe something's going to come out of nowhere in your family. But no matter what, like you're saying, I'm going to worship you, God. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm worshiping here together with a family of believers right here and right now. There, Whitney, who you saw up here singing here today, her husband is in Sydney, Australia. Guess where he was earlier today? He was at church. Why? Because that's an anchor. That's a discipline he's dropped in his life where he's like, you know what? I've got all this other stuff. I'm in another country right now. I'm in another time zone right now. My wife is at home with all the kids. Ha ha, got her. Like but this anchor is in my life. This discipline exists. And so like prayer and Bible study, joining our grace communities, being a part of our discipleship groups, like those are anchors we drop in our life. We say, I don't know what's going to happen with my kids this week. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. We had somebody in our church, in our campus right now, who just this a couple of days ago, their son is running on the playground outside, falls. No one pushes him. Just falls and breaks both bones right here in his forearm. Isn't that crazy? Like, just falls and breaks. You know how many times kids fall? Now I'm terrified. Like, I'm walking around my kids like this all the time. You know what I mean? Because, like, that's expensive. So, anyway, like. You don't know what's, oh, and I want them to be okay. But like, you don't know what could happen, but we drop an anchor and we say, I will meet with your people. I will spend time in your word. Like I will spend time praying with other believers. Like I'm going to be in a grace community. I'm going to be in a discipleship group. Like I'm going to study your word, right? And that's what disciplines are, is that when our world is ever shifting and our life is constantly changing, trying to pull our focus here and there, disciplines are the anchors that we drop in our lives. What about the second temptation? The athlete's temptation is to take the easier path. We choose to do hard things. That's what athletes do. Haven't you seen like somebody training before and you're just like, that's unreal. Like I'm going to go get another Coke and I'm going to change the channel. Like this is tiring me out, right? Have you ever been on the beach and seen somebody working out on the beach? Isn't that gross? Don't they know they're misusing the beach? Like that, the beach is for like, you lay there and you don't know what time it is. That's what the beach is for, right? You lay there and you're like, I don't know. I'm pretty red now, so it's probably noon. Like that's pretty much what the beach is for. And you see people work out and it's unbelievable because that's a hard thing to do. The last time we went to the beach, stop laughing, Ange. I haven't even started telling the story. The last time we went to the beach, we brought like a wagon, like a cart. And we get in the sand, we go to Clearwater. We typically go to like New Smyrna or something like that. The sand's like real compact. You go to Clearwater, that's just like white powder or whatever. So we start dragging the thing, like the wagon, and the wheels are like, nope, this isn't, nope, not going to do it. So they're not turning. I pull the handle off, right? Because, you know, Hulk. So I pull the handle off, and I'm like, awesome. We still have to go all the way up there. Son, I'm gonna make you get out of here. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm like, what do I do? So I'm like, that's fine. I'll push it. So I literally, like in the sand, I push it. I think I pushed it like 30 yards or something. Stop laughing. I haven't even gotten there yet. I push it like 30 yards. It is like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And then I sit down. I'm like, oh, I'm lightheaded. And like I start to overheat. And I was like, I'm going to vomit on this beach right now. And like my parents are with us. And my dad's like, hey, will you help me set this up? And I was like, I'm trying to stay alive over here. Can you give me a minute? Like, I was not having it. But that's what athletes do. Like, athletes choose to do the hard things. They don't push the cart on the beach. But they choose to do the hard things, right? And that's what we have to do. And spiritually speaking, when we choose to do the hard things, that takes faith. And that's when God shows up. Like, that's where you're going to see him show up in the biggest moments is when you say, okay, God, I know this will honor you, but it's going to be really hard for me. And that's where we say, God, I need you to show up for me. And we'll see him show up. You see it throughout all of Scripture. You see it with Abraham. The first time God meets with Abraham and he says, hey, look, I'm going to make you a great nation. I know you're rich. I know you got a big family and everything's going great, but I'm going to do something even bigger. So I want you to pack everything up, everybody up, pack everything up, and I want you to go to another land. What land? I'll tell you when you get there. That's a huge step, right? That's a hard thing to leave everything behind, everything that he knows, right? Like, I own all of this. And he's like, yeah, I got something else for you. I need you to go. Where? I'll tell you when you get there. Just go. How long is it going to take? Don't ask that question. Just go, right? That's a hard step, and he did it. You see, like, you continue on. You look at David, right, facing Goliath. David didn't sit behind, like, some wall and, like, chunk stones, you know, at Goliath, and he's like, I'll get you. No, David ran at Goliath. That's a hard thing to do. That's a faith step, right? Because if God doesn't show up, what happens to him? If God doesn't show up for Abraham, what happens to his family? They wander in the desert forever and they die. If God doesn't show up for David, what happens to him? Goliath drop kicks his head across Israel, right? But you see it in the New Testament. You see it with Peter. Like Jesus is walking on water and Peter's like, if it's really you, like, have me come out. And he's like, come on out. Peter had to step out of that boat onto water. I can't even imagine doing that. I can't even imagine going, oh, yeah, I'm just going to walk on these waves now, right? But he had to do that. That's a hard step. That's a difficult thing. That's a scary thing. But God showed up, and that's where he shows up. It's when we choose to do the hard things, that's where he shows up. Like, think about this. Think about the hard things that you're doing right now, the things that you are doing right now that are hard to do, but you're doing them anyway. You're choosing to do the hard things. Let me ask you this. Are those not the points in your life where you have the biggest return, where you see God at work the most? Isn't that right? My wife and I were talking about it last night, and the example we came up with was we're talking about our finances, and we're talking about the way we use our money, and when we choose to do the hard things, when we choose to stick to our budget, and we choose to be generous, and we choose to, like, trust God and not freak out and not run to credit cards and not do all these other things, but say, okay, God, we're trusting you. We don't have a solution for this, but we know you're going to provide in some way. When we do the hard thing of saying, God, it's yours, we're not going to freak out, he shows up in the biggest ways. But on the same token, what are the hard things you should be doing? What are the hard things you should be doing? And when you figure out what those are, like, ask for help. Like, get prayer for that. Like, get other people to help you with that. So what are those things? Is it something in your marriage you need to come face to face with? Is it an addiction that you've been denying for so long that you just need to face up with? Like, what is it? Is it something in your family? Is it something with your kids or with your health or at work or something like that? Can I tell you one for me? Like, this whole sermon has just been Grant confession time. But let me tell you one for me is, like, I need to give God my mornings. I'm not a morning person. Like, not at all. Like, I woke up through about the second song. Like, I was like, oh, hey, what's up? We're at church, right? Like, I am not a morning person at all. In fact, I went on a trip recently with our senior pastor, and we shared a room together. He goes, man, I'm so sorry. I'm the worst snorer of all time. And I was like, it's not a problem. Like, I must have the clearest conscience on earth. Like, I sleep like a dead person. Like, it is absolutely fine. He's like, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. You're going to have the worst sleep of your life. I was like, okay, whatever. And so, like, I fell asleep. And the next morning, like, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. And, like, I wake up and he's like, I thought you were dead. And I was like, what? And he goes, I've been awake for 3 hours and you've just been laying there. And he's like, I was, like, trying to be careful, but an alarm went off. My phone was ringing. Like, I turned the TV on. He's like, I literally went over and held my hand under your nose to see if you were breathing. And I was like, man, I don't know. I have that much faith. I can rest like that. But anyway, but I need to give God my mornings. Like, I need to choose to do a hard thing. I can't imagine what my morning would look like if I don't get to hit the snooze 34 times. Anyone else like that for me? Like, I feel like it's a challenge. I want to hit the snooze 34 times and then run as fast as I can to wherever I'm supposed to be, right? Like, no margin whatsoever. It's going to be a challenge for me. But here's the thing. When I don't give God my morning, usually then, like, I just run into him throughout the day. Or I don't run into him at all. Anybody else experience that? Where you get through, like, the middle of the day, and you're like, oh, hey, God, what's up? Thanks. You know what I mean? Or you get to the end of the day and you realize, like, he wasn't even a footnote in your day. Like, you lived the most faithless day possible. So I know that's a change I need to make. And it's going to be hard for me. Honestly, it's going to be a hard thing for me. And I know that's silly, but it's true. It's just the way that I am. I know it's going to be a hard thing. And I need prayer for that. If you would remember me and pray for me, that'd be awesome. But what's the hard thing you need to be doing? Like the temptation is to take the easier path. We've got to choose to do the hard things. And when we do that, like that takes faith. And when we leave that space, that's where God shows up. God shows up in that space. So choose to do hard things and you'll endure. Let's look at the last one. Farmer's temptation of instant gratification. We need to set patterns that lead to blessing. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. And when you see in the New Testament, when you see the commandments that Jesus gives, it's almost always connected to blessing. Like just for example, in the greatest sermon ever preached, no, it wasn't the one Ricky said 2 weeks ago. It's actually out of Matthew, right? This is Jesus' sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, he starts talking about these are the characteristics of what my people will be. If you're going to follow me, this is who we are. And we call them the Beatitudes. And look at this. Every single one of these things, every single one of these distinctions is connected to blessing. Like truly blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. Truly blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Truly blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth, right? Truly blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, right? So if we keep going, again, just keep going through all of it. It's truly blessed, truly blessed, truly blessed, and there's blessing connected. God wants to bless you. He has a plan to bless you. So the question is, are you setting patterns in your life that lead to blessing? So here's the question we need to ask ourselves. We'll put it up here on the screen. If this pattern continues in my life, does it lead to blessing from God? If this pattern continues in my life, does it lead to blessing from God? If this pattern continues in my life when it comes to my money, does it lead to blessing from God? If this pattern continues in my life in the way that I treat my spouse, does it lead to blessing from God? If this pattern continues in the way that I spend my mornings, does it lead to blessing from God? We need to start asking ourselves those questions, right? And so again, I already mentioned like the finances. That's a hard choice that Angela and I have made that we've seen the biggest return. But the reason we made that was we recognized when we answered that question about the way we viewed money, the answer was no. It did not lead to blessing from God. Like we were figuring out ourselves. We were worried all the time. We weren't being generous. We weren't giving to the church. Like we were being disobedient. And so we recognized we could never expect him to bless that part of our life if we weren't blessing him with it, right? If we weren't trusting him with it. And I'll tell you like a pattern I think in my own life I need to stick to because I want God's blessing for this is I think about my own marriage. I think about my relationship with my wife. Now, we have a great relationship because, I mean, look who she's married to. But we have this great relationship, but in it, you guys didn't laugh, and I appreciate that. But you're like, yeah, look who she's married to. But we have, like, I realize as I look at my schedule, like, we, as a lot of people probably with little kids, is I'm not very intentional with my wife. Anybody else like that? Like, we run into each other every now and then. I'm like, oh, hey, you're cute. What's up? What's your name? Right? But, like, I'm not very intentional with her. And how in the world, if I'm not more intentional about leading her, if I'm not more intentional about spending time with her and having date nights with her and about carving this time away for us, then how in the world can I expect the blessings of God from that? Hey, God, will you bless this thing I'm not being intentional about, right? And so that's something that I know I need to set a pattern of being more intentional in my own marriage so I can expect blessing from God. God wants to bless you. So again, the question is, if this pattern continues in your life, does it lead to the blessing of God or does it not? Because he wants to bless you. And so I know there's patterns I need to set as I know there are for you. So I want to close with Paul's encouragement to Timothy. He starts in verse 1. He says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Then he ends this section, verse 8, "Remember Jesus Christ. We will only endure if we trust his strength." Like, you can't just go home and I'm just going to set patterns now. Everything's great. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to choose to do hard things. Everything's great. No, you can't. You will not endure and continue to take your next step towards him and help others take their next steps towards him without his strength. We need to trust his strength. I want to close by, like, telling you this story, this encouragement. I was super encouraged this week. By a friend of mine. In fact, while we were having lunch, he was like, "Hey, you know, the last time I talked to you, you talked about me in the sermon the next Sunday." And I was like, "Did I? Well, it'll happen this week." So basically, he was talking about like he knows that where he is and where his family is exactly where God wants him to be. He knows he's been faithful in following God where he wants him to be, but he's been experiencing difficulty. Why? Because that's what happens, right? Like that's what Jesus has promised us. That's what Paul's experiencing. That's what he's telling Timothy. And so he needs endurance. And so he's been dealing with all this difficulty, and he told me this, that he's really been struggling, but he stopped one morning, and he's in the shower, and he said, "Okay, God, I don't like this, But if this is how the season of life has to be, so be it. I'm trusting you. And he says, in that moment, like, God gave him this peace that didn't make any sense. In fact, it was a peace that he went to work and people noticed it. They're like, are you okay? Like, with all these changes and all these things, he goes, yeah, I prayed and yeah, I'm okay. Like, I'm trusting God. Yeah, right? And so what was he showing? Like, did things have to change? Sure, some things have to change. But what was he showing? That the only way we're going to endure is through God's strength. And so I want to pray for us now. So if you would you bow your head and close your eyes? I want to pray for everyone in this room. Do you need to trust him for endurance with a specific area of your life? Let's pray and ask him for that right now. Think about that area of your life. Where do you need his endurance? Like, ask him for that right now. Do you need his wisdom to drop anchors of discipline in your life? God, what anchors of discipline do you want us to drop? Like, God, would you give us that wisdom? Do you need his strength to choose to do hard things? God, would you give us the courage and the strength to be able to do the things we know we're supposed to do the faith-sized things and to trust you in the middle of it? Do you need his courage to set patterns that lead to blessing in your life? Maybe it's going to lead to some hard conversations for you and your spouse today, or for you with your friends today, to say, I got to set a new pattern here that'll lead me to the blessing of God. God, we are so grateful for your love for us. We're so grateful for your faithfulness. That God, as we want to endure, God, you don't just want to get us through. You don't just want us to cope. You want to get us somewhere. You're bringing us further on in our mission to know you better and to make you known to other people. So God, we're grateful for that. And so I pray for endurance for all of us. Help us, Father. Help us endure. Help us not choose the easier path. Help us not lose our focus. God, help us not chase after the instant gratification, but instead set patterns in our life to see your blessing in our life. So Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you constantly, constantly, constantly show up for us. Thank you for showing up here today. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.